Gentlemen, unity. To the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. We'd like to start taking some callers coming up in the next segment, so if you want to call in after the break, well, when we come up in about like 20 minutes or something, the number is 218-339-8525. Now, the topic is Easter. Now, allegedly, there's some kind of occultic ceremony. I don't know what it is. Something to do with eggs and rebirth and bunnies and mating rituals and equinoxes and what have you. But that's what happens when a chicken has relations with a rabbit. They have a baby equinox. Sounds about right. There's some strangeness about the whole ceremony of going out, stuffing yourself full of Easter eggs. I'm not saying I'm against it, because we've been partaking. But I'm wondering, what's the kind of symbolism here? You're eating some description of egg made out of some sweet stuff. What's an egg represent? It's the center of life, isn't it? You know, how's a woman reproduce? She got eggs. So if you're eating an egg, what are you doing? Are you like taking part in some dark occulted mystical abortion practice? Eat those eggs, boy. Eat those eggs. Those eggs are bad for the planet. Gotta carbon tax them. I don't know. It's strange to me, the whole Easter egg phenomenon. It comes out of the woodwork, doesn't it? All of a sudden, Easter's here, and boom, there's the Easter eggs. They're everywhere. It's like as if there's another aisle at the supermarket all of a sudden that just wasn't there before and is suddenly there, you know, like you walked into some kind of parallel Easter egg dimension, you know? It's beyond comprehension, the quantity of Easter eggs. And you got to wonder, do they actually sell all of those? You know, how much of this stuff gets thrown out? Where's the production capacity here? What has all this stuff got in it? Let me have a look at. Okay, palm oil. What's palm oil done? Oh yeah, that's right. Whole bunches of scumbaggery corporations and corrupted individuals, paid off and indebted ones usually. In jungle regions of the planet, you know, whether that be Indonesia or Brazil. And cut down huge tracts of pristine wildlife inhabited rainforest. Just cut it on down and log it the hell on out of there. And start planting palm trees everywhere. Palm trees? Apparently you get some kind of oil out of them. And there's a waste product as well. The actual seeds and kernels that the palm trees make. And they sell them to cows, right? Now, apparently, there's something wrong with all this palm oil. Like, it ain't good for you. Like, it turns you into some description of robotic slave via osmosis. I don't know. Don't know what it is. You know, how many people, if you're going to cook a meal, let's say, how many of you would have a bottle of, say, palm oil there that you're going to add to your meal? Whether you're cooking a chocolate cake or an Easter egg or anything like that, none of you would think to use palm oil, right? I wouldn't. So why is it in there? I don't get it. And what about all these other additives here? Yeah, flavor 528 or whatever. Flavor 631, 722 or something like that. There's like a range. Basically, if it's above 600 and around about the 700 mark, anything between there, it's kind of like an artificial flavor. And it's not good for you. It's like MSG, I think. So we've got artificial flavors. We've got palm oil. Okay. What does artificial sweetness do to you? Well, let's have a look at the lab test. Excuse me, Mr. Scientist. What happened to every single rat that was tested with the artificial sweetness and flavorings and such like that by the Sara Lee Corporation while, what's his name, Donald Rumsfeld was the head of it? Well, it seems that every single rat bloody died, you know, of brain cancers and tumors that grew all over them, you know. And they got blinded and all sorts of horrible stuff. Developed nervous system diseases, diabetes. Oh, yes. It was horrible. Oh, okay. So, how the hell did they legalize those things? Well, you know, we had an inside man, Donnie Rumsfeld. Same guy that told you that Iraq had weapons of mass destruction is also the same guy who's instrumental in bringing one of the most vile killers, the sweetest poison there is, quite literally poison, onto market and spread everywhere. Fat-free this, fat-free that. Have you noticed how nobody's gotten any thinner with all this fat-free stuff? You know why? Because when you artificially sweeten something, the body senses the sweetness as if it's consuming sugar. But because it's not consuming sugar, it doesn't get the calories that would correspond to said sweetness. So the body thinks, this is a bit weird. I'm not getting what I need, yet it's sweet as, bro. So it tries to reconcile that by making you hungrier. And the brain, and advertising is great because it works like this. If you see something that's fat-free, you eat twice as much of it, so you lose any benefit, even if it was fat-free. Because you're eating exactly the amount that you'd need to make any difference. You know, people have to stop making little excuses. My philosophy is know the poison and eat it anyway. Understand that the stuff might be killing you at some point, but enjoy it while you've got it. Don't keep consuming it all the time, of course. You know, once in a while, perhaps. Don't be a Puritan about life, because for goodness sake, it'll stop you interacting with a lot more people, I've found. Basically, that's the root of the matter. But anyway, back onto these Easter eggs. On top of all these artificial sweetness and stuff, which will kill you, blind you, give you debilitating stomach cramps and turn you into a zombified corpse zombie, there's also the sugar. Now, sugar is very interesting because it also, just like artificial sweetness, is a poison. Okay, let me qualify. How does a poison get dealt with by the body? Well, the liver takes care of that, doesn't it? Well, guess where the fructose and all this artificial and all this sugar and corn syrup and all that? Because when they say they're putting sugar in there, they're not putting sugar in there. 90% of the time, they're using high fructose corn syrup. High fructose corn syrup does not get processed by the stomach, nor the duodenum, nor the lower intestine, or anything like that. It gets processed in the liver, just like alcohol. It's like beer without the buzz. It is poison. So here's your first three ingredients that are primarily in your Easter eggs. Palm oil, artificial sweeteners, and sugar. Three things that you don't know much about that are, for all intents and purposes, are either poisonous to you or poisonous to the environment and indigenous life all across this planet and the processing and setting up of the manufacture of said product. Okay? So it's everything's multi-layered. Especially if you try to, like, pick things apart. And I understand these things when I do them, but it doesn't stop me from doing them. And it doesn't mean that I don't have any will or anything like that. It's just I want to enjoy my life, and I don't want to be overly worried about stuff all the time. Because, you know, every now and again, you do have to take a step back and take a break. Get your affairs in order. You know, relax. The thing that really destroys people in the truth movement, I think, is the intensity of it. And they forget that they need to stop themselves sometimes and slow down. Just take a week off, and you come back and you feel much refreshed. As I just did. And what was funny is because I took a week off and I left messages on Facebook and the chat room, what have you, but there were still people messaging me from all over the place going, oh my God, buddy, what's happened to you? You know, did a drone strike get you or something? Not nobody said that, but that was what it felt like, kind of thing. Like, people were worried that I was off air. And that's hilarious. You know, I didn't expect that because, well, let's look at the facts like this. If you've got radio that you're listening to, by goodness, there is a heck of a lot to choose from. You know, like if you have a look at the archives of the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, what have we got here? From 2010 till today. So we've got nearly 2 years of shows archived for you at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com, all free. And by goodness, have we had a heck of a lot of very interesting shows. And if you keep listening, and this is another thing that people have brought up to me recently, is that the quality of the show kind of keeps on getting better and better and better, and you keep getting surprised by who's on next and that sort of thing. Well, I share that experience. I do the show and I enjoy the show at the same time. And you have to. If I'm having fun, you guys are having fun, aren't you? Are you having fun? When you tune into the Vinnie Eastwood show, a little bit of a lighter side of genocide. Anybody else out there not having fun? Then get them to listen to this show. Get them to tune into AmericanFreedomRadio.com. Do you have any idea how many meke is? And in New Zealand, too meke means too much. You know, kind of like one of those all social equinox paradigms. And if you have a look at there, they've got archives too. There's a record number of seriously can't believe they're not viral type radio shows in the archive sections of the Vinnie Eastwood show from hosts from all over the world. It's quite substantial, the amount of content that's up there. And I recommend people diversify and, you know, have a look around. It's a good idea every time. And the same goes for everything, even Easter eggs. You know, we had, what was it? Peppermint chocolate marshmallow Easter eggs. They were really good, man. Oh, yeah. Straight up. I highly recommend them. But, of course, you recognize the hypocrisy of it. Now, is it hypocrisy to go and enjoy an Easter egg and then and later on criticize everything that's in it on radio? Maybe. Or perhaps I'm just a more complex organism and not everything has to be set in stone. And not everything has certain rules that have to be followed all the time. So when we come back after the break, I'd really like to take some Easter calls if any of you are actually listening to the show live. Sometimes I wonder. 218-339-8525 is the number to call in. That's 218-339-8525. We'll talk about whatever really the heck you want to talk about, you know, as is the calling card of the show. But, you know, I'd love to hear some Easter stuff and find out if, you know, you're having some few barbecues or chomping down on some MSG, bro. Give us a call in, 218-339-8525. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Back in a few minutes.
The flight to New Zealand by plane from New York City, it takes 22 hours. So from the Twin Cities, 19. I mean, I fly all the time, and 6 hours on a plane is like a lot, and 19 is wrong. And they see, they distract you. They feed you, and then they feed you some more, and then they feed you. Give me a dessert. Give me a dessert. Give me a dessert. Bob, your dessert, you prick. Give me that dessert. I have a Bloody Mary. Yeah, give me a whiskey sour. Yeah, give me whatever you got. Just more liquor, more liquor, more liquor. And then when you're done, there's still 16 hours to go. You want to know what it's like? You can experience going to New Zealand. It's very simple. Sit in a chair for 19 hours and take your hands and press your head as hard as you can. And don't stop. Don't stop. 19 hours, just like this. And then at the end of 19 hours, you pull your hands off and you feel like you're in New Zealand. You certainly won't feel like you're home. They say that New Zealand's beautiful, and I don't know because by the time I got over the jet lag, I had to go. And it seems to me if you're going to travel for 19 hours to another country, when you get there, they should have the common courtesy to speak another language. I did not fly all this way to hear English again.
Oh, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. That was Lewis Black there, a very interesting comedian. He does a couple of good sketches, one called Rules of Enragement. That's where that sketch is from. And also another one which my producer showed me once upon a time called Red, White, and Screwed. And he does swear quite a bit, so there was a substantial amount of editing that I had to do in order to get that clip up sort of thing. In fact, some poor sorry sod sat through a Lewis Black, like, this is how he framed it. Somebody had actually come up with a number of F-words that he'd used in one of his sketches, and it was like 40-something. And he was surprised that we could just have people who would willingly sit there, not liking swearing, sitting there to somebody who swears all the time and keep jotting it down. And, you know, like it reminds me of something that I think a lot of us need to be cognizant of, is that when you've got somebody who's like an enemy or whatever, oftentimes you wind up expending yourself and, you know, robbing yourself of all your own energy and whatever, trying to get back at them. Isn't that funny? It's kind of like that movie, what's it called? The Book of Eli. Now, the dude who ran the town wanted the power of the Bible so much that he was willing to sacrifice too many men in order to try and retrieve it. So much did he sacrifice that at the end, not only was he badly wounded and his wound getting infected and about to basically get sick and die, but people were no longer afraid of him because he didn't have a whole bunch of henchmen to protect his bar and all of his other stuff. So they just started looting it. And it's something that happens in everyday life, really. You become associated with people, maybe flatmates or people like that, who are just damaging individuals, who basically hurt your very existence. And basically, the real problem with it is you can't fight back against them, you know. You can't bring them under your control because, you know, society's tried to do that, tried and failed. You know, you can't. So beating them up or talking to them about it often won't work. And best thing to do is just move on. You know, I've had this experience in a number of flatmates and what have you, you know. It's just move on. You never see them or talk to them again anyway. Like I always say, there's 7 billion other people out there. Don't waste any time with people who aren't worth it. Because you only got a set amount of time in this particular form or body or whatever your belief structures are. You're still here. You're still now. Why would you want to spend it with anybody who's a douchebag? You know? That's another problem. People are watching YouTube videos and all that kind of stuff, and all they see is Jews and Israel and everything like that. You know, there's a lot of that behind it. True. But it's not the only thing that's going on. And to make it your focus, to make anything your focus, I don't believe in really having a focus. Don't think so. Don't think it's a good idea in a lot of ways. Because if you focus on something, you miss everything else that's going on to a large degree. You know, I just believe in keeping your eyes open, your ears open, and taking stuff as it comes at you. Got to take it everything day by day. I wasn't sure if I was going to do a show today, but I got up and was just like, you know what, why not? Let's just do a show. Who cares? Have some fun. Various people believe that there's no such thing as a great conspiracy. These people are like belong to skeptic societies and things of that nature. And their explanation of why somebody is a conspiracy theorist, just in general, is basically human beings try to come up with explanations for things. They try to make sense of things. And so they make up wild fantasies so that they can make sense of things. Now, I know that argument doesn't make any sense. But, you know, I was trying to say, I wonder why people choose to kind of do it to themselves. To put themselves in these bad situations. Like, they're suckers for punishment, right? And many situations like this evolve out of a sense of saying, I want to do the right thing. Like, for example, this person's a bad person. I want to, you know, inflict some form of justice. I'm willing to sacrifice my time and my attention span and whatever other kind of things I could be doing in order to rectify this particular situation. Now, there's nothing wrong with that mentality per se. It's all just a question of the situation and resources. For example, if you dislike a flatmate or something like that, and you're the head tenant, you have the resources and the power to just kick that person out. So you can and do it to get that poisonous trash out of your life. If you, on the other hand, are the flatmate and you don't like your head tenant, you can't just kick them out, can you? And you can't exactly forge an alliance with other people and think, I mean, it's not like Survivor, is it? So, you know, ultimately it's going to have to be you that moves out. You know, you've got to accept the situation. And just like with fighting the New World Order, what can I do? What power and situational abilities, what resources do I have at my disposal in order to contribute to the fight against the New World Order? Because I obviously can't take it down by myself. You know, an individual can do a lot, but without all the people supporting that individual, you know, all the people that are subscribing to this show at like $5 a month, and we've even got people who are making like $2 donations every now and again. And every tiny little bit helps, and it adds up to an aggregate so that you've got a base to work from, so that you don't have to worry about where your food's coming from, so that your internet bills are paid, that sort of stuff, so that you can keep consistently working every single day to make content that is going to help people, escape a little bit from the world, as well as learn a little bit about it. Think a little bit harder. You know, I think it's a noble cause. And if some platinum blonde bimbo can make $250,000 a year and be waltzing around in Gucci handbags and what have you, I think I could probably just at least survive and broadcast the truth. Don't you think that's fair? You know, some people are a bit angry at people within the truth movement who say ask for money. And there's a degree of agreement I have with that particular idea. I think you should be kind of self-financed, but in a lot of cases it's not possible for people to be completely self-financed. And the truth movement, I think, does not just extend to the people who are actually doing something on the airwaves and on the websites and in the public view and whatever. There's also so many people behind the scenes that it's unbelievable. The aggregate is huge. The amount of people that contribute to this show, just like on a daily basis, is phenomenal. And it's all about people sending me emails, sending me guest requests, things like that. If you want me to interview somebody, I probably will wind up interviewing them for you, because it's not that hard. Once you go up and you ask these people, I'm a talk radio show host, I've got such and such stations that listen to me, if you'd be willing to donate some of your valuable time, come on in. Most people just say, yeah, why not? You know, that sounds nice. Okay, so we got the vehicle for you, and this is a place to get your views out. And, you know, if you wanted to call in, for example, the number is 218-339-8525. And if you have Skype or something like that, we can connect you. It's a little, can be a little bit risky, but we can hook you up. Come to the chat room at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com, and we can get your Skype details off there and probably bring you up for this little Easter show that we're doing. Getting on to the news, we've had a lot of news coming out of the Middle East to do with Assad and Syria and Iran and Egypt and Libya, and it's just, it's as if somebody had a news cluster bomb and they just pepper sprayed and carpet bombed all of the Middle East and all the bad stuff that's happening. You know, it's, you know, thinking about it, the significant role that the Middle East plays in Western culture, it's where we get our oil from, even though we could drill it ourselves and we have the technology, it's just it all gets suppressed, scumbags. But we don't even really need the oil anyway. We've got plenty of alternative energy sources. But they're paying like 10 cents a litre or something like that for gas, you know. It's pretty substantial. The cost differential that we suffer versus those in the Arab world who actually, you know, own their own oil assets and things of that nature. You know, countries like Iran, you know, where petrol for your car is cheaper than water. You know, you can go anywhere. That's great. Of course, though, we now have to make sure that this country has never attacked anybody in like 300 years, gets demonized and is seen as the most dangerous threat that the world has ever faced. He's the new Hitler. 9/11, he did it. WTF to that. It's inextricable. And Assad, these rebels and everything like that, of course, apparently there's been Israeli or foreign military troops seen fighting in the cities, that kind of thing, you know. It's turning into like a multi-part war here. There's not no civil war or anything. And Syria, just like a lot of other places, you know, a lot of places that have been or are going to be invaded, no electricity bills, no cost for higher education and all of that kind of stuff, much lower cost for housing, cheaper utilities, lower interest on loans, you know, all of that kind of stuff. And for some reason, oh, everybody just doesn't like that, and Assad's a terrorist and what have you, and Hillary Clinton comes out and just spews it all forth, you know. It's like she's spewing ectoplasm like it's in The Exorcist. She's quite a disgusting, horrific figure, that woman. She's terrible. She just loves blood and sacrificing everybody else. Everybody else's kids and everybody else's country. It's pretty ruthless, man. I guess the administration is a good place for people like that, don't you think? You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. I'm not sure if I can hear the music, but we should have a break coming up in about 10 seconds. So please call in over to the break, 218-339-8525, or join us in the chat room at the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com. Rocking it right here. Nice little Easter show on the Vinnie East Show. AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And incidentally, the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com. You can join us in the chat room there, or you can call in 218-339-8525 is the number to call in. We have a caller here, Peter. Peter, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Vince. Happy Easter, dude. Happy Easter, everyone on the airwaves.
Where are you calling us from?
I'm here, Warrawong, New South Wales, on the east coast, just a little bit east of west of Port Kembla.
No idea where that is, I'm sure, for many of us.
That's all right, bro.
Warrawong, close to Kembla. Not exactly.
Oh, sorry. Port Kembla, the harbour, just a little bit west of that.
Righto. I'm sure Australia's got plenty of Newcastle ports and harbours. After all, it is one gargantuan continent of an island. It's true. So how's your Easter going, mate?
Oh, mate, can't complain. You know, the planet's still spinning, revolving in the sun. It's just another day, really. Yet we are all stuffing our faces with chocolate, enjoying the day, spending it with family, hopefully, if you've got that opportunity to. What can I say? Locally, just to delve straight into my personal issues and be what can I say? Living here as a resident under Department of Housing while your landlord, who's supposed to be a servant, openly discriminates against you and blocks off your access and egress. You go out there and talk to workers and explain to them that oligarchs across the road who are supposed to be doing their job and advocate for tenants, as is their portfolio, just sit back and watch and let poo happen to the community. It's basically Agenda 21 just moving forward. I said you blast your show out, try to tell people what's happened, and they look at me like I'm a nut, and I think, okay, fine.
We've got the same thing happening here in New Zealand. We're having all these old council flats and blocks and stuff like that, state housing that's all being demolished and then sold off to private land developers and stuff like that, because they're on million-dollar properties, you know, with like in good areas, but they're big state housing communities that have been there for like generations and what have you, and they've all paid that off, of course, and so now they just want to give it to the developers. Yeah, Sustainable developers.
Yes, the plan is moving forward, isn't it, while the public just get told to sit back, shut up and suck your thumb.
It's sad, isn't it?
But it's life. It's the world. This is what we have to deal with. If we don't make it better, this generation, our children are going to look on us and they're going to go to our gravestones and expel their bodily excesses.
Have you noticed that there's been this kind of wedge driven between the generations and people have been separated by technology to a degree, you know? Like, because your grandparents aren't texting you and emailing you and all of that kind of stuff, you find it hard to keep in touch with them.
Well, for my personal situation, I choose not to join Facebook or Twitter and that because of I don't agree with Zuckerberg calling us all suckers and you still join and let him have more money to buy hamburgers, but that's a personal choice everyone wants to make for themselves. And you got to join the technology to be able to use it in one regard, but that's just my personal opinion. I don't really like, anyway, to get off that topic. Happy Easter. Yeah, life goes on. So what, we've got people there trying to tell us what to do and tell us we don't have rights. We've just got to educate them and say, listen, this is what the Magna Carta says and this is what common practice says, and if you want to take my rights away from me, how about I do this similar to you and see how you like it? But then they employ the boys in blue or security firms to come along and have their methodology imposed upon the public. So what can you do?
Yeah.
Try and fight the best you can.
Well, it's interesting. Like, the private security is starting to be used for everything. Like the cops, for instance, they weren't allowed under their rules of handling protests and everything to evict the occupiers. So the council just went, oh. It's illegal for actual real servants of the state that have training and oaths and all of that kind of stuff to do it. So let's spend $30,000. Let's just spend $30,000 on private security.
Yeah, it's not that it's a taxpayers' money anyway. We'll just use their money against them. Yeah, well, my situation, my landlord, the Department of Housing here in New South Wales, have tried to evict me five times the past 11 years I've been here. They've sent me a Fiat water bill, and I said to them, well, you send me a legal watered meter, metered bill, and I'll consider paying your Fiat charge to me. And they say, well, no, you're not going to pay it. We're going to try to evict you because we'll amend certain rules and regulations in our own little corporate rules to say that we can do this. And I'm saying to them, I don't care what your corporate rules are. You've got a constitution that gives you certain power to act within your portfolio. You either obey the constitution or go away, leave me alone.
Yeah. Well, Peter, why don't you just tell us a little bit about who you are and what it is you actually do?
Oh, well, I'm a pensioner at the moment due to a left foot crush injury working in the mining sector. Before that, I was a New South Wales police officer for a number of years before I resigned. Before that, working in the meat industry, Doro Brothers, which since closed down at Albion Park. And before that, I was a school kid. And now I'm just sitting around watching what's happening in the world, trying to wake people up and say, hey, do you really agree with this? Are you really pollution? How is it that our Prime Minister today can stand in front of us and say, purport lies, and we just cop it on the chin? Or try to use our power at the polling booth to vote them out? In the old days, you used to get a rope or stick a gun to the temple and say, you can't lie to us like this. Wake up to yourself. But these days, we've got to bow and scrape to the socialist rule and pander to public opinion.
Now, a friend of mine, he was saying that he really likes Australia kind of a bit better than New Zealand. He said the vibe is different, that people are a lot more positive.
Positive. What do you think? It's hard to be positive when you've constantly got a thumb on your head and you're told to sit down, shut up. But, yeah, Australia is a great country. And there are a lot of beautiful, great people in it who try to live their life as free and as they can under the system. It's a beautiful place, but we're led to believe that, oh, there's too many people on the planet because they stack, pack and rackets on public, on the coast in big cities, and yet all you got to do is take a two-hour drive. Well, you can't really drive east in New South Wales because you hit the water, but if you drive west for 2 hours, you're in the middle of nowhere. There's plenty of room for everybody on this planet.
In fact, there's enough room for everybody on this planet, as I hear, in Australia. You know, some guy did, I forget where this was, but apparently you can give everybody on Earth, I think at the time it was about 6 billion people, a quarter acre section in Australia, and there'd still be like a state or two left over.
Yeah, they reckon they can fit them all in Queensland. I've heard similar studies done where they reckon they can fit them all in some one corner of Texas or something, or the whole state of Texas, the whole world population. The rest can be used for food and or whatever else. But yeah, but getting people to actually move and live together in such a stack, pack, and rack that conditions would be a little bit hectic, don't you think?
Yeah. Well, I think the quarter acre section. Well, the thing is, the way it is kind of would work if our practices were amended a little bit. You know, it's just like we've got all these basic ideas, like what were we talking about? Agriculture and irrigation, things of that nature, which produce all our food. But the problem is we're also leaching out all the essential nutrients of the soil. Our food's becoming nutrient deficient as a direct result, and people aren't going about and putting it back in. The water aquifers are starting to get dried up in some places because people haven't managed to figure out exactly how much they can take so it renews itself.
Yes, the public's been lied to basically by what the corporate or these power companies are putting into the earth with the water to get the gas out. They're not telling you what all the chemicals are and what they do.
Mm.
And it's a big cash
fracking.
Grab.
Fracking, yeah,
it's
mate.
Fracking horrible, man. Fracking horrible.
Yeah.
And, I agree with you. This is our job. We've got to, for our kids' sake, we've got to point out the scumbags and what their scumbaggery is, and hopefully other good-minded people will wake up and go, hey, all right, let's do something about it.
Yeah. Frank, yeah. I mean, what else you got? Ladies and gentlemen, what else you got going on in your life that's so freaking important?
Oh, football team. I've got to drink a can of beer down the pub. What's the latest betting tip?
Yeah, but you're just weird. You want to expose scumbaggery. That's just stupid.
Yeah, aren't you normal? Don't you want to get pissed and pervert all the girls down the football ground like I do?
With me muscular thighs.
I'm not going to pitch your persona. You go for it, bro. You're better at it than I am.
I don't think anybody should really try to be on somebody else's persona. You know, don't put people up on a pedestal, bro.
My problem.
Hey. With Easter and all of that kind of stuff, I gather that most people would love to go away for the weekend if they can, but nobody can afford it.
Well,
carbon taxes, man. I hate being in New Zealand because we're already paying them in our gas and our electricity bills and so on and so forth. If you charge that into something, almost everything starts to have a little bit of a taint with that carbon tax, you know? That's why they tax you on the carbon, because there's not a single human fracking activity that doesn't produce carbon dioxide. Perfect thing to tax if you want to control all human activity then, don't you think? All right, well, we'll be right back after the break, ladies and gentlemen, at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. You can join us in the chat room there. Get some other people to listen in. And also, you can call in 218-339-8525. Back in a few minutes.
Children, front lines, log on, tune in, stand and be counted, wounded, stationed in the belly of the vulture, watch your back, there's no civilians, women, children, front lines, listen, consider this a distant, early warning, the fire's imminent, pollution, gathering dust particles, funneling through smokestacks, airwaves, bandwidth, disinformation, too bad, check the labels, delete the virus, alert the masses,
back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinny Eastwood Show. It's hour number two. Fastest 2 hours in talk radio there is, broadcasting live from the future, live from New Zealand. It's already tomorrow. And from the world of tomorrow, the future looks bright, I can tell you. Maybe I'll just play mind games with myself to make me forget that, that my country is enslaved by completely ruthless sociopathic criminal scumbaggery. Actually, I think that's exactly what it is. I'm trying to delude myself. Hey, Peter, I was just thinking, you know, my country's lost. It's lost, man. Everybody's lost their way. There's no patriotism. There's only scumbaggery.
We're stuck in a, you know, was it Resident Evil game, like 1984, Animal Farm? it's like a movie.
It is like Resident Evil, you know. It's either the evil corporation will get you, or the zombies that they created will.
Like, I even... Yeah, when I put this brick wall up, fencing us residents in, I called the security bloke over and had a bit of a conversation, you know, give him a cup of tea and just tell him about Agenda 21 and what's happening locally and what the oligarchs across the road basically did when they had their private meeting back in March and September 2009 with the university, legal eagles and the community hall, what are they, public servants basically. They all met and come together with some sort of social audit plan to enable selling of public lands that the public use for access and egress so that some rich person come along and just buy it up and fence us off and take away our access and egress. It's like our servants think they're more than our servants, because in New South Wales, Australia, I see our government, they recognise that they couldn't, because of Section 53 of our Constitution, do anything that's financially untoward towards the population, or a financial burden towards the populace. So they gave IPART a piece of paper, says, here you go, we give you the power now to up people's power and utility prices. What an obvious cash Ponzi scheme cash grab. We've got to be like Iceland and Ireland to tell them that this derivative Ponzi debt's not ours. Go away. Make love elsewhere.
Where's the debt bubble going in Aussie now? I mean, you got this massive mortgage crisis or anything like that, like the rest of the people that got huge housing blocks that aren't being used?
I wish I was actually qualified and had my finger on the pulse of that to make a reasonable comment. But, yeah, families are struggling making their mortgage payments. Food prices are going up and down because of the duopoly we've got here with Woolworths and Coles. Like, the writing's on the wall in front of people's faces, but they tend to keep their heads down, trying to meek out their meagre living just to feed their families. And in the process of doing that, they keep their eyes on the road instead of up looking around them to see the chemtrails and the writing on the wall to see what's actually happening in their country all around them. That's the
exemplification
that I see, basically.
I feel that we're in this sort of hypnotic trance state, don't you think? Like, we've got all this electromagnetic radiation all around us. Our bodies are toxified. We've got all these heavy metals in our systems. There's something like 200 poisonous chemicals or industrial waste products that are now being detected in baby umbilical cords when they're born, kind of thing. And I think it has a cumulative effect that we've now just kind of lost all sense of reality.
Well, instead of informing ourselves and looking at the history books and listening to our grandparents, we're busy sitting in front of this electronic device which is affecting our brainwaves and having an effect upon what we do personally. It's like
but it's all on how you use it.
Program into a chip, the chip will do as it's commanded.
Yeah, so it's all on how you use it, really. I mean, you know, if you use your time to sit around doing absolutely nothing of consequence, just consuming Hollywood television or whatever...
Get us some documentaries on SBS, ABC, or on the Vinny Eastwood Show. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Watching documentaries is so fun. I've got to admit, it's like one of my favorite pastimes.
Well, that's what teachers do at school. They sit you down, watch this documentary, and they use that as a form of teaching now. So why not teach yourself at home?
Yeah.
Why would you want to be a student, go to university, rack up all this hex debt, and then have to scrounge around looking for a job that's not really guaranteed because you've got all these foreign imported students that have probably got more qualifications than you who are going to get that job before you are, and you're saddled with this debt that you've got to try and pay off?
Wait a second.
Goes to sit in a... Go.
Think about this. What if you do like an online documentary university? Let's say you wanted to understand philosophy, or you wanted to understand ecology, or water, or any number of eclectic subjects. There's probably heaps, dozens of documentaries or whatever. Let's say you go there and you watch these documentaries, and then you come away with like some conjunctivitis, you know, diploma.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing: you don't get a piece
of propaganda that you're watching and what's not. Yeah, so you could be watching some green propaganda thing which is going to purport to you that polar bears can't swim and it's your fault that the Earth is going through these weather changing cycles, when it's the bloody oil companies that polluted the Earth that stopped the Gulf Stream from doing its job. And that's why here in Australia, in our East Coast, we just had summer. Summer wasn't summer. Summer was autumn. And now we're going through autumn and we're getting more summer weather here now in autumn that we should have got in summer.
I'm experiencing the exact same thing.
The Gulf Stream has changed the world's climate, and they're trying to conglomerate together the oligarchs and blame us as humans for changing something that the bloody oil companies actually did. And who owns the oil companies? Mr. Gore, the Silver Jubilee celebrant, and blah, blah, blah. They're the real owners. And that last ship that got knocked off of the reef down there and they spilled all the oil and they end up spraying core exit everywhere. Who owned that ship? If you go and look on the... Anyway, that's getting a bit technical.
Well, look at it this way. If you have a car, it doesn't matter how much you paid for that car, how long are you going to continue to use it when the oil runs out or the petrol's cut off? Rather, because the oil ain't going to run out. It can't. Okay, it's actually a renewable resource, unlike we've been told and led to believe. Have you noticed that everything's a lie? You know, it's like you get in your car and...
No lies. No, Vinny, it's a marketing ploy. It's not a lie. Yeah. It's a marketing ploy. They create shortages so that their bottom line, so they can charge us more, because we're so dumb we believe them.
That's true. In Katrina and all of that kind of stuff, there was a huge fluctuations in oil prices, and it turns out that they didn't have to hike the prices anywhere near as high as they did. They just milked it and milked it and milked it, and just everybody. See, this is the thing. Because petrol is such a essential to your transport life and all of that kind of stuff, the more you milk it, the less people can travel, the less economic output they can actually have. You know, this is why having the price of it cheap is so flipping important, and that's why countries as wholes, the ones that do actually have nationalized oil companies, have such cheap petrol and have such a good economic output relative to what their the rest of the state of their economy is like.
Basic supply and demand. If this demand's up and supply is low, you can put the price up. But if you've got heaps of supply and demand's low, well, the price goes down. And they just manipulate that supply and demand scenario and by telling us lies and
this
formulating their accounting practices scams upon us. I mean, look at poor Gerald Celente and all the money he lost with MF Global. Imagine if you were in that position.
I love it how the initials are MF as well.
Yeah, motherfucker. Oh, sorry.
Oh, you can't say that under FCC regulated radio. Happy Easter, everybody. This will be the last show that we ever do.
I pulled it. I'm sure I pulled it halfway.
Well, we don't have a 7 second. We've got like a 7 second delay or something, but unfortunately, we don't have the technology to do the beep or whatever, you know. But anyway. Anyway, as long as I've mentioned something, you know, there'll be something to back up my case if somebody decides to put something through to the FCC. Those MFing Australians, man, can't hold their tongues and can't hold their
language. Too much beer last night, something, whatever it was. Yeah. All right, next on our list, Vinny, what are we talking? Come on. There's heaps of topics, truth, there's need to discuss and get out there.
Well, thinking about the mining industry in Australia, you know, my dad worked in the mines there as well. And what I found interesting is that they're really kind of coming together to fight the carbon taxes, right? But what is even more interesting than that is in the carbon tax legislations, as far as the ones that I've been looked into and been speaking to experts about, a lot of these big companies, major businesses in mining and oil production, electricity supply, all these things that you would think would be the alleged CO2 emitters, they've actually got heaps of exemptions for them.
Yeah, it's all part of Agenda 21. It's like they use your money, they take your tax dollars, and then they purport that they're spending their money to do their work to help you. When basically what our government's doing, they're letting in overseas power companies, which in my view is a bit treasonous. Why don't they start letting local companies employ local people to have some local investment so the product stays locally and the country makes some money instead of the money going offshore overseas? But our wise leaders doing what they're doing because they have a plan and they're being compensated for the implementation of their plan. And we as a public have to wake up and recognise that our public servants have certain, what are they? Their oaths that they swear, their mission statements, their statements of values, that as well. I mean, they swear all these things and say that they're supposed to be working for us, and then they turn around and say, oh no, we're your masters, you must do as we say. If we want to lock you down and take away your common practice and rights of access, we'll do that. If we want to raise your power prices, we'll do that. If we want to tell you that there's a water shortage while we dam it up, like what happened in Queensland, New South Wales. Hello, I've got a... Something's coming up on my computer. Go away. Am I still coming through?
Yeah. Well, it's just like manufactured crises all over the place, right? And if the crisis is real, then they use the real crisis to hype up the response to get people used to this hyperactivity sort of thing. You know, like in what was it called? In New York,
social manipulation.
When that wee hurricane was coming in, that kind of thing. They evacuated a huge city virtually. You know, the streets were all dead, and it wasn't that big a deal.
Yeah, but because of a fear in the back of someone's mind that something might happen, you have to jump and comply, even though you've got the common sense to think, hang on, this has happened before, I've lived in this area, and I've got a bunker to go down into. But no, yeah. You've got to uproot yourself and go along with it, because they're all making their wages while they're pulling you out of your home. And or like locally here, how can I equate that to...
Look at it. Look what they're doing in Katrina, for example. You know, they say, everybody get out of there. Get out of Katrina. The levees might bust. It might flood. And I say, well, mate, the only reason why the levees might bust and might flood is because there's some governor of Alaska or something like that during an appropriations committee got all the money that was going to be used to fix all those levees to build a bridge to an uninhabited island.
Well, there you go.
You know, these people are thieves, and scumbaggery is thy name. It's pretty straightforward when you look at it, because you see the same thing coming up every single time, over and over and over again. It's quite inextricable because it happens so often. So regularly that you can almost see it in the news day by day, these problem reactions, solutions, sustainable development promotions and vaccine schedulers and goodness knows what other New World Order agenda are advertised every single fracking day in front of our fracking mind pans like this. The convicted drug smuggler, Chappelle Corby. Every single time they mention her in this particular way. Convicted drug smuggler, Chappelle Corby. There's been something like 13,000 times that they have said this, like according to a recent documentary called Expendable. And when you talk about Chappelle Corby innocent or something like that, maybe like 1, 2, 3, 4. Versus 13,000 or so.
Mate, the people are asleep. What they did to Chappelle, Corby, Alan Kessing, Peter Spencer, the list could go on and on. It's just there's so many people being affected by what this government's doing. It's just only a few people actually get in the papers because they do extreme things. Like Peter Spencer, what was that about? He went to cut down one of his trees and they tried to fine him $3,000 and then they tried to take his, so he set up in his tree and then all the press come along, oh, please come down, don't starve yourself to death. And what really come of that? Did the nation actually wake up to the Agenda 21 scheme that they're now imposing upon us all with vigour?
See, this is the farmer guy in the middle of us.
Too easy.
This is the farmer guy. You were talking about the farmer guy in the middle of Australia who set himself up in a treehouse and kind of in protest of the carbon taxes, right?
Yes, Peter Spencer, yes.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And what about Alan Kessing, the head of security at Sydney Airport? And what the process they put him through, nearly lost his house, a poor bloke. They did a special on him on SBS, I saw, about 2.5 hours long. All he tried to do was do his job and you know, be an upstanding citizen, and they put him through the meat grinder. Like they do everyone that blows the whistle, basically.
Yeah. The Chappelle Corby case is just a pretty tragic one. And the media, I feel, they have to be both stupid and complicit. There's no never mind about this. They're complicit up the top and stupid down the bottom for the people who are actually reporting and implementing and repeating this phrase, convicted drug smuggler Chappelle Corby, right? They're just stupid because they don't look into it or anything like that. They're not journalists, okay? I know, because I'm not a journalist and I know my own kind. I'm just a douchebag reporter. And the problem I find is that because these journalists won't actually do any journalistic duty or due diligence.
Or best practice or proactive, it's all reactive, isn't it?
Yeah, and there's no professionalism or anything like that. They make jokes about them, call them bogans and whatever. You know, that kind of stuff isn't meant to be there. And, of course, the implications of Chappelle Corby being innocent and the media having been puffing it up this entire time and repetitively slamming it and then turning out that there's been evidence the whole time, which they haven't been reported on, that completely exonerates her and that you can sum it up in like as little as 1 minute, you know, it's that obvious, you know.
Yes,
we'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. At thevinnieeastwoodshow.com.
The world you knew is gone. The conditions which framed and taught us our standards have gone with us.
Back, ladies and gentlemen. It's a brand new day. Brand new world. Really quite nice. You think about it. You look back at all the bad stuff that's happened to you in your life, and you recognize that, hey, all the bad stuff that happened to me, it's just the stuff that needed to happen in order for the good in me to shine through and conquer it. Do you reckon, Peter?
Always look on the bright side of strife. Da-dun, 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 da-dun. That's not. You got it. Otherwise you go mad.
Yeah.
Like the other day, when these riggers that were here, this local department housing estate that I live in, just before they completed this brick wall, I was dragging my trolley just to go go shopping to get me little supplies for the fortnight. And one of the young foremen turns up And I said, mate, you're not going to fence me in, are you here? I'm just going to go shopping. I want to be able to walk back along this path in 10 minutes and put me groceries inside. He says, mate, just go away. Will you go away? He says, mate, I live here. Don't tell me to go away. You're just a servant employed by my landlord who is in... who they themselves are my servant. I pay them money to live here. Now you're trying to... Anyway, I just left him to it because I wanted to hit the bloke, but I thought I've got shopping to do, so I leave him there. But that's just what we're facing as a society. Other people are telling us, because they get orders from someone else to carry out an order that's unconstitutional.
Like, it's like Chinese whispers in a legal context, you know.
If we can convince them that they're all pollution and then they'll pay this silly carbon tax, we can make some money off them. So off you go. Tell them, tell them. Yeah, right.
Yeah, you know, and that's how you know.
CO2.
That's how you know when you're dealing with somebody who's dodgy, who doesn't know what they're talking about. You ask them to explain exactly what it is that's going on, and they can't.
Hey, take me to your leader. Let him explain. Oh, but yeah. Al Gore, he just bought a new house. Where? Oh, let's not go there.
Well, incidentally, that's on the hills of California, but Al Gore's very interesting. He comes out and he wins an Oscar for his documentary, The Inconvenient Truth. And then he recommends that to Congress during hearings that they have a cap and trade and a carbon tax. And it turns out that he's already started cap and trade and carbon tax companies. And he's starting to recommend, of course, that the government put all that stuff through him. And carbon taxes and derivatives trading of that particular strain have actually been getting traded for quite some time now, even before implementation. A friend of mine, Vapi Kuping, she bought shares in one of these carbon trading companies so that she could keep getting a prospectus every quarter to figure out what the hell they're up to. And my goodness, the amount of money that is being traded here on this stuff that doesn't exist would blow your mind. These people are going to become obscenely wealthy. That's why Al Gore's able to buy, what is it, like a 9-bedroom mansion?
Yep, while residents here in Aurora want to get their bathrooms taken out because of the so-called upgrades. Yeah. I don't believe it.
This is the news.
IMF carbon tax fund. There's Al Gore, there's Barry Sotero, there's a heap of other people, and now your utility prices have been gathered by your local politicians because of their calling you, because you're a carbon-based life form, your pollution, and they're taking your utility price rises, and then the money's not actually staying in this country or your country to go towards health, roads, education, blah, blah. It's going straight into this IMF fund so that these people like Al Gore and this lady friend of yours who bought shares to get the prospectus, don't you think our politicians are also buying shares in this company that they're convincing us to pay into because we're pollution? Doesn't it sound a bit like racketeering to you, Vinster?
Yeah, well, you know, the mafia have a much better code of conduct than the government has in terms of track record. For example, if you pay the mafia protection money, you get protection.
You don't want me to burn your... I mean, you don't want my cousin... I mean, you don't want someone to burn your house down next week? You'll pay me $200 now. Oh, I haven't got it. I'll pay you next week. Oh, if your house gets burned down tomorrow, it's not my fault. Hey, Jimmy! Quick, get the 44-gallon driver, get some petrol out of you. Yeah, this is exactly how they carry on.
Yeah, it's Libya all over again.
Well, why Libya? Where did Gaddafi's 144 tons of gold go?
Whoa, he lost a lot of it, didn't he? That's what happens when you have everything confiscated by the Rothschild banking cartel.
Well, they're just scared, so they want their petrodollar-based money system to stay intact. Saddam was looking at bringing in his own gold currency, so they said, oh, he's got weapons of mass destruction, and they killed him. And then Gaddafi, the same thing, is looking at Africa and other countries in Europe to bring in a gold currency in competition to the American oil-based dollar, and look what they did, like, to protect their own financial asset monetary setup.
And what did Iran just do? The exact same thing.
Yeah, political games played by the oligarchs all over the place.
Oh,
but
man.
We get the picture at least. At least we get the picture.
Well, we get the picture, but the problem is we're not in it.
Yeah, like sideline viewers. Like, warning, Will Robertson, warning. What's he on about, that bloke up there, while they're busy concentrating on the advertising, the football, the beer, the commercials, the feeding of the I want syndrome, selfishity, or I don't know. It's just human nature. We love to communicate. We love to feed ourselves. We love to indulge ourselves in personal satisfaction through a comfortable place to live, good relationships, good friends. And in the process of doing that, we seem to just go along with what the political structure tells us to do because it's very easy and comfortable.
Going along to
get themselves out of their comfort zones and realize what's actually happening around them. Like, just look up sometimes. Look at the sky. You can see what's coming out of the arse end of some of these planes. And then go to the internet and have a look on Google. At least look at Agenda 21 for Dummies. At least do yourself the favor and have a look at that one if you don't know what's going on.
Yeah, it's a good video, that one. I've showed it to a number of people, eh? And it's funny, even people who've been in the truth movement for a long time, who know about, like, let's say, for example, some of the health sector scumbaggery and what have you, they have no idea what Agenda 21 is. You know, it's like this big secret, Agenda 21, Codex Alimentarius, and like, what are these things? We need to make these things table conversations, you know? Like, not even that many years ago, people had no idea that the Fed was private. Now everybody knows. It's because all the people out there just start talking, and the radio shows that we do and all that kind of thing, they are part of the movement. But the biggest part, and I feel this is the thing that the listeners do, is they're the ones that are going out and actually engaging with the public and their friends and their family and their teachers and their gas station attendants and clerks behind McDonald's and everything like that and talking all this stuff that they've learned and trying to advance the human race down there. It's really the people who have the everyday interactions that really make the difference at the end of the day, you know? People don't have to sit around and wonder, oh, what can I do, or if is what I'm doing being significant? Look, every tiny little thing you do, as long as you're doing something, is a good thing. And you have no idea just how great that the effect of that can be.
That's our aim.
Have some faith. Have a little bit of faith.
Amen to that, brother. Well, it's Easter. That's what Easter's all about, having faith and then trying to move forward in your faith towards the betterment of our country for our children, not the enslavement of them and telling them that because they're carbon-based life forms, they're pollution, when we all know that plants, through photosynthesis, convert CO2 into oxygen so we can breathe it.
Yeah.
So why are we paying more for our power and utilities?
What I find interesting is that...
Anything? Except the lies, the consistent lies have been told. If a lie is told often enough, it's going to be believed. That's why we're out there in the truth movement trying to tell the truth often enough to combat all the lying tripe that they're foisting upon our children through advertisement. That's why shows like yours are growing exponentially, my friend, because people are hungry for the truth.
Well, what I don't get is like in the last 50 years or something like that, there's virtually been no real advancement in terms of transport technology. Like the United States, like have a look at the train system there. Oh, my God. Yeah. You know, you've got 300-mile-an-hour bullet trains in Europe and stuff like that. And in the United States, they're still using these old freight trains and things. Okay, it's just terrible. The infrastructure's crap. And have a look at the internal combustion engine. You know, the cars have changed or they've become nicer. They've got leather suits and blah, 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 blah. But they're still running on the same crap. And you're still utterly dependent on the price of gas.
Yeah, they've set their little monetary control system accounting practices up well, haven't they?
Nothing's changed. You know, everything just gets worse.
Well, when you're living in Japan, and or countries like that, and you can actually see the physical smog and pollution from the motor cars, you'd probably feel that way. But then you in Australia, you take a two-hour drive out to the country and the air's pristine and beautiful and you feel like you're in touch with God and nature. It's only when you come back to the crowded, over-polluted cities that you tend to become depressed and you notice all the negative things of the planet around you. Like you say, take time out. And that's what this is about. Take time out, get back to what your history is and what history's taught you, what the roots of your faith, your religion are, and just be friendly to everybody and tell them the truth about things. If you recognise a lie in society that someone's trying to report upon one of your brothers or sisters in your community, squash it. Tell them the truth. Confront it. That's all I've tried to do in my local community, and in the process of doing that, I get banned and told to sit down and shut up, so I'm just doing what I can when I can.
You get what you pay for, mate.
Well, yeah, in a way, I suppose, but what is money? Can you take it with you? It's just a tool to be used. Farmers, they spread bullshit around their cow manure, animal feces to help crops grow. That's what money should be like with government in society.
Government doesn't seem to do a lot that's productive with its money sometimes, you know. It's just like, we're going to get into debt. This is a good idea. Here we go. Let's get into debt and get so monstrously in debt to the World Bank and IMFs and what have you that we won't be able to afford to pay it back with exorbitant interest rates. Okay?
That's the plan, Finster. Yeah. That's what they're trying to do to every country. Can't people see that? They try to do it to Ireland and Iceland, and they turn around and says, make love elsewhere, people. It's not our derivative Ponzi scam debt. You've made this up out of nothing, as you mentioned earlier. This is what the cashless society is all about. They want to con you into going to a cashless society so they can sit there on the computer and say, oh, we're going to, there'll be no more bank robberies. No more people, grannies with their $1,000 ATM withdrawal in the purse getting ripped off by young thugs high on ice on skateboards. We can get rid of that problem. But then again, they're making all these zeros and ones up on the computer. You're going to be trading on the computer. They're trying to say that, oh, we'll take out cash, we'll save all these bank robbery and bullshit problems, and then you're going to have all this extra computer fraud come up and all your zeros and ones will be stolen over electronically from your computer with all the backdoor programs that Microsoft and all these other agencies are privy to listen to you and watch you on your webcam and listen to your conversations over your phones and read every email that you send.
Scary, man.
Should I stop there?
Also, Project Echelon. Project Echelon is great, hey? Good little agreement between all of us English-speaking natures. At the time when they'd signed it, it was illegal to spy on your own people. Now in New Zealand and in the United States, it's legal. But at the time, it wasn't. So they just made an agreement to spy on everybody else's people and then just share all their information. Ba-ding! And keep at least a year of information, a year of recorded phone calls, text messages, emails. I think this was just for cell phones, for example, just text messages and cell phones, all recorded at least 1 year on every number. You know, they've got everything locked down. And so people were saying, oh, well, I don't want to talk about this, that, and the other across Facebook or anything. Mate, they've already got you. Okay, it's just a matter of how high up in the aggregate in the ether you are, whether or not you're worth them turning their attention upon you, whether or not you're in their face enough.
I can see the point you're trying to make, but Vincent, if you've got enough money and the computer's actually giving you ads that you want to see and it's cutting out all the ads that you don't want to see, like maybe dog food ads when you own a cat or something, wouldn't you find that more convenient and easy?
Maybe. We'll talk about it after the break, eh? Tune in, ladies and gentlemen, at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. You can join us in the chat room there. Last chance to call in before the Easter break starts, 218-339-8525. The Vinny Eastwood Show taking your calls after the break. Welcome music, ladies and gentlemen. In the show that recognizes that there's nowhere to run and there's nowhere to hide. No callers today, how interesting. Apart from Peter, of course. I think it's because everybody's sort of just chilling out with their families and whatever, you know, having a good time. Why wouldn't you? It's Easter. Go for your life, mate. Easter Friday. Everybody goes away on holiday generally. But as I've been saying in the last couple of shows, is that this Easter holiday, there's a special done on TV3 here by John Campbell, Campbell Live. And they're just going around asking all these people, you know, what are you going to do for the Easter weekend? You're going to go on the old-fashioned Kiwi road trip, you know, take the family down to the beach, what have you. Most of them, the exact same thing comes out of their mouth, you know, endlessly. You know, when somebody does Vox Popular and everybody says the exact same thing, it was like that. I'd love to go out, but I can't afford the gas. It's too expensive. I'd love to go out, but I can't afford the gas. It's too expensive. I'd love to take the kids away. Can't afford the gas. Too expensive. So on and so forth.
Vinny, did now, the people around, what was it, the one before, the Russian one, not Fukushima, Chernobyl, did the people around Chernobyl, when that, did they all have holidays around Chernobyl? Or were they smart enough to realise that we better stay away from that area? Like, I don't believe people don't understand they're under attack. Look at the radiation, is Chernobyl still leaking radiation? Fukushima is still leaking radiation to this day.
Well, we could advertise them as summer destinations. Come to Chernobyl and Fukushima and soak up some rays.
Oh yeah,
and we'll give you a tropical
ideas. They've got enough.
And we'll give you a tropical frou-frou drink too.
Oh dear.
And a hammock made from expent fuel rods.
If it had any sense. You'd stay at home during Easter, eating chocolate with your family. You'd wait till all the petrol prices went down. You'd wait till there was a nice, clear weather where there's no radiation coming. Then you'd take your family out somewhere and have a nice little day out instead of, like, and you'd put a filter on your water so you're not drinking the fluoride.
Well, see, have you ever heard of those parents who quite, basically, they wrap their children up practically in bubble wrap to prevent them from getting hurt? That's almost what you have to do in a sense in order to not be affected by New World Order agenda. Like, if you want to not have electromagnetic radiation or something, you've got to have a blue ship. If you don't want to have fluoridated water and all the other toxic chemicals that are in there, you've got to have your Berkey water filter. If you don't want to have a on-the-grid system that can just come down whenever there's some description of event that affects the power, you've got to have homescience.com or whatever for your little electricity generators. And it gets to the point where you almost have to replace everything that you once had or used or relied upon in your entire life in order to be free and safe from it, which is incredibly difficult to do. It's like learning to walk again.
Interesting concept. But, like, things wear out, like your fridge sometimes, you've got to replace your fridge and your microwave and stuff, but well, did I just lose the point of what you were trying to say?
Well, I think the point of what I was trying to say is that there's so much going on towards us that we can't protect ourselves against all of it at the same time, and it takes a while sometimes to accumulate the things that you need, including the knowledge, in order to survive the effects of being a New World Order slave, in order to survive the effects of being a New World Order a medical experiment, as most of us are from on a day-to-day basis. These things are really horrible, horrific, and you can't solve them all overnight kind of thing. You can only spend, let's say, a certain amount of time each day trying to protect yourself from things, but you ultimately have to get on with your life, and you don't want to make protecting your life a reason to not live it.
Oh, true. A quick example of that, about four days ago, I went across to my local doctor's surgery, noticed they had to sign up, still advertising the free flu vaccine shots. So I said to the young lady behind the counter, oh, can I see one of the medical data safety sheet before I think about having one of these flu shots? Oh, no, the head nurse, she went away, come back and said, oh, no, the head nurse has taken them all out. There aren't any there. I went, what?
Hey, we've got two callers here, Peter.
Go ahead.
Jim.
Hello.
Jim from Brooklyn. We've got to take you guys quick, I think. Jim from Brooklyn, welcome to the show, mate.
Vinny, good talking to you. I've had to listen to you on the YouTube for a while. This is the first time I've caught you live in a while.
Oh, wow.
But I want to tell you, here in New York, man, it's total control. There was this herbal incense was all over the place that popped up, and it was basically people were smoking it like pot. And as soon as the government found out that it works, they banned it. And my drummer looked at me the other day. He goes, "I feel like I'm living through Prohibition." I said, "Dude, you are."
It's like, dude, Prohibition's been going on for quite a few number of decades now, man.
Oh, forget about it.
And only just now feeling it. It's like somebody on PCP breaks through a car window with his fist, and only now he's feeling it.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm really thinking, you know what? Everybody around here, for like the last few days, has just been complaining about how dog tired they are. And myself included.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't do nothing. You're just dog tired. And it seems to me, you know, I heard you guys talking about it before. I think Fukushima might have something to do with that.
Yeah, man.
I don't know.
Everybody feels a little bit fooked.
Yeah, it's just like all of a sudden you have, you know, no energy, and one day all of a sudden like everybody's got a sore throat. You know, what do you mean everybody has a sore throat?
Hey, hold on a sec there, Jim. I'm just going to bring this other caller into the conversation because I've only got a few minutes. You're not muted, though. You're still part of this conversation.
Okay.
Area code 608, you're on the air. What's your name and what state are you calling from?
Hi, my name is Lennon. I'm calling from Wisconsin, and I heard you guys didn't have much callers, so I thought I'd call in and throw up a couple points.
Oh, yeah? Go for your life, mate.
I'm sorry?
What points would you like to raise?
Well, you know, I heard you guys talking, and, you know, there's so much information out there, right? I mean, if anybody's really going to try and get themselves, you know, they want to be fully educated, they want to be, you know, fully illuminated, at the same time, that is just another flip side of this whole agenda that they have, you know, to fully get yourself into all this information. I mean, you lose your mind, and basically, if you're going to stop living because you got cancer from the GMOs or... you know, you lost your brain to all the fluoride, you stopped living on one side. But then on the other side, you know, you want to fully educate yourself, and then you'll just stop living there. So I just wanted to say to everybody out there who's kind of in this, like, limbo state, you know, ooh, something's going on, but can I really do something about it? Or, you know, if I do something about it, are they going to come get me? I mean, you know, one of the most important things, of course, is health. You know, you got to protect yourself. You don't want to be eating that crap. But, you know, live your life and be happy. Because at the end of the day, you know, these guys, they want us not to be happy. And if we're running around like a bunch of psychopaths, oh, they crashed a couple planes in the 9/11, you know, they're taking over the world. You know, everyone's going to think we're psychopaths. But if we just walk around and be like, hey, you know, I'm just being healthy. I'm just being a smart guy. You know, I'm calm. I'm respectable. How are you going to call me a right-wing extremist when I'm walking around and I'm the nicest guy in the town?
I think you're totally right, eh? And stress is the thing that'll kill you.
Technically, oh, yeah.
Like 90% of all illnesses are caused by stress. Then why don't you make sure that you have enough sleep, don't eat crappy food that stresses your body out, and have a few laughs every now and again? You'll stay healthy.
Exactly.
A good sense of humor is probably the most valuable thing you could have in your life.
Oh, yeah. If you don't laugh, you're going to cry.
Exactly. Exactly. I agree with that 100%.
Well, if you were going to cry, listen to this show, then.
And the awesome thing is that we are so much more productive when we're in a good mood. Like, when's the last time you heard, man, I was so pissed off, I just wrote something amazing. Man, I was so pissed off, I figured out everything. Like, no, that doesn't happen.
Actually, it doesn't happen that often, but occasionally that does happen for me. Like some of these rants that I have on the show, for example, because I'm incredibly pissed off, and they come out as these masterful angry tirades. I love them, but they don't happen very often.
You write a lot of music that way too. With my band, the Stoney Brothers, we a lot of times, like, it's just, you just get it, you get, somebody gets ticked off, and, you know, that's what the next song is about. You know, you get a ticket on the way to the studio, all of a sudden there's a new anti-cop song.
You know, the world is my muse. Anything that I'm pissed off about, I can make a song about.
Yeah, I agree with that, you know. That
was
Pretty Enough Girl, but that's just cheesy.
Well, see, in a sense then, the world is a song sheet and we all get to read it, sing it, and rhyme it how we want to. And I think that's a decent place to leave it for the show today. Happy Easter, guys. Thanks for calling in.
Happy Easter, buddy. And a good one to everyone out there in American Freedom Radio land, all over the planet.
Yeah. Everybody who's listening in, you know, I don't care what country you're in, whether you're in the United States or Canada or the UK, or whether you're in Japan or any of these other places that basically suck because they are ruled by tyranny. Have a happy Easter anyway. Just let these people know that they may be able to take our lives, they may be able to charge us excess amounts of money for gas, but they can't take the smiles off our dials, because we know that we can have a good time without all of their BS. So thank you guys for calling in. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening. Please support the broadcast by making a donation or a subscription at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com, and we'll see you again sometime, assuredly.
Excellent show. Great. Way to go.